Moment of the Run to Daylight Pro podcast, and we're off to a roaring start already. I'm your host Todd from PA, Todd Burrows, and once again joined by my co-host Eric Moody, Eric N. Moody on Twitter. And today, our friends at the FFPC, I wanted to talk a little bit about something that they added not long ago, a new Dynasty Superflex format. They call it the Triflex Dynasties. So if you've wanted an FFPC Dynasty without kicker and defense, and that's one of the major changes, they are Superflex leagues. One Superflex and two regular flex and three wide receivers instead of the normal two. This is in partnership with our friends over at RotoViz as well. And the leagues have been filling. If you want to get in, there's a deadline before the draft. I believe it's tomorrow. But right after the draft, they will be opening these new dynasty formats right back up. And you can find them by going and opening an account, myffpc.com. That's myffpc.com. Eric, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. It's another Friday. You know, we're less than a week before the start of the 2021 NFL draft. So, no, definitely exciting time. So, you know, we got a really great show plan. You know, we want to talk a lot about the draft. Like, I know the Athletic's Dane Brugler creates like a mock draft like every few weeks, you know, leading up to the NFL draft every year. What I like about it, and I've been reading it for years, is that it covers really like every pick. It also focuses like on team needs, you know, scheme fit and like culture fit as well. So it goes really in depth. And I know there's been like a number of like live streams and like podcast analysis, you know, about the 2021 draft. You know, it's almost here. Then we can really
see.
There
always is.
Yeah. I'm like, there's always a ton. And so we can find out like, hey, where these players are going and really what the, you know, the fantasy, you know, kind of outlook would be, because we're really just looking at these players in a vacuum at this point. So I'm really excited to kind of dive into these potential landing spots for this year's draft, you know, kind of using Dane's mock draft as like a basis. And if you're a subscriber to The Athletic, go ahead and check that out. I know he's got a ton of great content over there. So we really want to use that as a foundation. So I would say, you know, let's dive in. Ready to dive into it, Todd?
I am ready.
All right, let's do it. So, you know, I'll be dramatic, you know, like Roger Goodell here. So, you know, with the first pick, you know, the 2021 NFL draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Trevor Lawrence, quarterback out of Clemson. You know, everyone kind of expects, you know, Lawrence to be selected, you know, by the Jaguars.
Worst kept secret, the Jets couldn't even tank right.
Yeah, I know it is the worst kept secret, but we won't spend too much time on Lawrence, obviously. But Todd, I'll pass it to you. What do you think about that selection, assuming that one's going to happen, right?
Yeah, I think he's got to be the pick. You know, I've seen some inconsistency in the little bit I've watched of him. I don't know that I believe he's as much of a no-brainer as some people seem to think. You know, there was a study recently about the percentage of these top pick quarterbacks who actually make it. And yeah, I think it's only about 40%. So, you know, I think when you don't have a quarterback, you have to take a quarterback. Mm-hmm. It's the only way you're going to get a quarterback. So that is why it has to be the pick. Also, his ability to run fits exactly what Urban Meyer likes to do. Yeah. His preference is to have a mobile quarterback, all the way back to Alex Smith at Utah.
Yeah, no, good, very good points. I think when you look at all these quarterback like prospects, I'm like, he's one of the best quarterback prospects to come out, obviously, since Andrew Luck. I'm just really more excited with Lawrence with the fit in Urban Meyer's like offense. And when you look at Urban Meyer, I know he loves quarterbacks who can, you know, attack defenses in multiple ways, you know, as a passer, you know, on the ground, as a runner. It really with good decision making and leadership like on the football field. He checks the boxes there.
Great hair.
Yeah, great hair too. As you can tell, I mean, you know, I shaved mine.
Yeah, we're both jealous.
Yeah, I know, with the locks and the wind and the helmet, all that good stuff. But you look at who he's surrounded with, like his presence. Where you look at James Robinson, DJ Chark, and the entire Jaguar skill position players. Like, he obviously elevates like their value. I do have some concerns like with their offensive line. I think the tackle position is an area of opportunity. But they have solid protection on the interior with Brandon Linder and Andrew Norville. So should we move on to the lovely Jets?
Well, I do want to say with the Jaguars that you've mentioned a couple times that this is a very good draft for offensive line. It's one of the few areas that you've identified. And the Jaguars do have, besides the 1-1 pick, 125, 2-1, 213, 3-1, and 4-1. So they really can go shopping here, Eric. And it'll be interesting to see how they play the draft board with the new management, if they buy into the more modern metric of trading down and even getting more value, or if they just sit there like the Dave Gettleman statue and make those picks.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I'd like to see what they build around, like with Lawrence. And I know some of these other picks, you know, kind of identify some other players that that they can target. So, no, well said, well said. So, you know, looking at the Jets, you know, they got the number two pick, you know, in the 2021 NFL draft. And I think all signs point to them taking Zach Wilson out of BYU. So when you look at the Jets, Todd, when you look at, like, their depth chart and the picks that they have, like, do you agree or disagree with this pick?
Well, I mean, I do study, but I haven't looked at the quarterback. So, from what I read, I think Wilson is one of those guys who reminds me a little bit of Mitchell Trubisky in the sense that he really came a one-year wonder. And those guys always make me worry, and I think – the negative is that people are saying that they're trying to get the next Patrick Mahomes, and a lot of people feel that Justin Fields is a better pick. I personally would have kept Sam Darnold, possibly, at least up until the draft. Mm-hmm. I think they could have gotten just as good of a package during the draft when the teams that want quarterbacks you don't get one of the guys, you know, once those top four or five guys are off the board, I think the Jets could have done better and they could have entertained offers for the number two, but hey, it's the Jets. So it's hard to expect the best, but I hope that as a native New Yorker, I hope that they do good.
Yeah, no, understood. It's I think you and I are aligned here for where I'm not a big fan of the pick. It seems like all signs are pointing to it's going to happen. And I get it. I'm like, you look at Wilson, the season he had at BYU, you know, historic season, you know, last year, you know, threw for nearly 3,700 yards, which ranked 16th in school history. I guess the question is he more than just a one-year wonder? And we'll find out the answer, you know, to that. I would say with
he
Wilson,
kinda looks,
you know, he
looks like
a goofy ceiling,
kid.
But I think he carries
– he just looks
he
like a goofy
look young
kid
in the
to
face,
me.
Doesn't he?
I mean, you hate to look at that, but I don't know. We'll find out. That they brought in Corey Davis. They had Denzel Mims, Jamison Crowder, but they really haven't. You know, they've got a number of picks, but they really haven't. You know, they really didn't attack free agency very hard.
No, I'm also concerned, like, with them seriously about their offensive line. Another area of opportunity, I'm like, if you look at Pro Football Focus, I know they allowed pressure in 2.5 seconds or less on 28% of their dropbacks last year, which happened to be the worst rate in the NFL. So, again, you know, he's got a high ceiling, but the floor is not very stable, and that concerns me. Anything else you want to add to Wilson before we move on to number three overall?
Well, they're another team that has a second first-round pick, the 23rd. They've got pick 2-2, 3-2, 3-23, and 4-2. Mm-hmm. So, again, it'll be interesting to see what Joe Douglas does with all those picks. Plenty of opportunity, but plenty of holes. I just still feel that they could have done better than what they got for Sam Darnold.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So I guess when you move on to, like, number three, you know, overall, where you look at the 49ers, again, we've got multiple signs and tea leaves pointing to them signing or drafting, excuse me, Mac Jones, you know, quarterback out of Alabama. So I'll kind of kick it off with a couple of points on him and pass the baton over to you. So if you look at Jones, phenomenal season. You know, he was Alabama's all-time single-season passing leader with, you know, 4,500 yards last season. 49ers moved up. Again, all signs point to them selecting a quarterback. I love Kyle Shanahan's system, his offensive scheme. I'm like, Jones could thrive there. I think what we're looking at here, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo is essentially on a short leash. One thing with the 49ers, like with their offensive line, I'm like, year in and year out, they continue to trot out one of the top run-blocking and pass-blocking units in the league. I think the interior of their offensive line, you know, could be upgraded. But either way, if you look at it, Jones is going to have adequate protection. I'll pass it over to you, Todd. What are your thoughts on Jones?
Yeah, it'll be real interesting. I think that all three of the remaining big quarterbacks are possibilities, and all three have at different times been rumored to go here. I don't have any insight that other people don't. But where I will caution people for best ball is right now, I think Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be the guy this year. I mean, it's possible that they trade him during the draft, but Jimmy is, you know, it'll be interesting to see which guy they bring in and whether they legitimately have a competition. But Jimmy Garoppolo is dropped into the mid-20 rounds. And if he's not in San Francisco, it'll be interesting to see where he goes. But yeah, I mean, push comes to shove, Eric, who do you think's the guy?
Yeah, no, I do agree with you, because I do see Jimmy Garoppolo being the guy. And, you know, as Sun Tzu said, there's always opportunity in chaos. And then you could look at that with his ADP. I'm like, it's reflected there. But I think with a guy like Mac Jones, I'm like, it'll help for where he transitions to the NFL and has a year or two to sit behind an established quarterback. I look at it this way.
Was the point I was trying to make.
Yeah.
Is that you know, if you are drafting these guys to play this year, you might be disappointed. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the fact that the Niners added Alex Mack to that offensive line that you talked mm-hmm. about, one yeah. of the best centers in the league, and then they re-signed Kyle Juszczyk and George Kittle, obviously, is one of the best blocking mm-hmm. tight ends ever. It almost isn't going to matter who the quarterback is, because if they can get the ball out, and this is why I think it might be Mac Jones, because what they want is someone who can get the ball out quick to Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel. And he seems like a very quick and accurate passer.
Yeah, no, very, very good point. So like I said, I agree with you. I'm leaning more towards Jimmy G there. Anything else you want to add about the 49ers before we move on to those Atlanta Falcons?
Onward and upward, my friend.
All right. We're moving on, as they say. So look at the Atlanta Falcons, you know, number four pick, you know, the 2021 draft. So I know in Dane's mock, you know, he has them selecting Trey Lance, you know, so quarterback out of North Dakota State. I'll kind of pass it to you first to kind of talk about Lance, and I'll kind of chime in with some comments. So, hey, if this does come to fruition, Todd, like, what do you think about this selection?
Well, I mean, Matt Ryan is kind of heading down the end of the road, mm-hmm. and the team does need to rebuild. I would not be shocked if the Falcons traded out of this pick, though. Mm-hmm. I think Lance is a reasonable pick, but if someone really wants whichever quarterback slips to four, mm-hmm. I wouldn't be shocked if the Falcons traded out of the pick and got the value for their new GM and coach. You know, when you look at the Tennessee Titans, Smith is his last name. What's his first name?
Arthur Smith.
Arthur Smith. You know, he was able to turn Ryan Tannehill into something. Mm-hmm. So I would not be shocked to see, you know, I'm going to predict a trade here. Mm-hmm. You know, I haven't heard anything of them saying they really like Trey Lance mm-hmm. or any of the quarterbacks. I think if the one drops that they really like, they'll take him. If not, I would not be surprised to see a trade here.
Yeah, no, I could see that happening. I would say the biggest concern that I would have is that it's just so rare when you have like a top five pick, you know, like they do have here. And granted, you know, hey, not everyone has a super soldier serum like Tom Brady, right, to be able to play to like 42 or 43. So I could see them taking Lance here. just to have a contingency plan for whenever they do move on to Ryan. But I think one issue with Ryan, I'm like, you look at like his contract, I'm like, it's ridiculous. I know they've tried restructuring and doing all those different things, but I can really see them having Lance sit behind Ryan until that contract's up and then to take the reins. But I know we all know about Lance's body of work in North Dakota State. You know, some may question the competition, but still, you know, he was a monster, dual threat quarterback. We know how much Arthur Smith loves to run the football, right? Those last two seasons with Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I think that, well, and but what we don't know about Arthur Smith, what I like about Arthur Smith is that he made the most out of the talent he had in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. So the question to me is, who is Arthur Smith? Is he a guy who wants play action and a big running back? Or is he a guy who, because he had the big running back and a quarterback who did good with play action, built his offense around what he had? Mm-hmm. So when you look at Calvin Ridley, Julio Jones, I know Matt Ryan's 35 years old. It reminds me of when Eli, when they took Barkley. It really comes down to what, you know, how many years do they think that Matt Ryan has left, and how much do they like the quarterback? I can honestly, to me, it's a 50-50 that they, you know, that they trade out of the pick, or if they take the quarterback. I think it would be silly for them to take the tight end.
Yeah,
you know, as good as Kyle Pitts is with the weapons they already have, but that, you know, that it wouldn't shock me if they did, but to me that would be the, if I'm going 1-2-3, it's kind of a tie at 1-2 with trading out and taking the QB, and a distant third taking a different player.
Yeah, and they have another pick that that comes up in the top of the second round too, which I think will be an interesting pickup based on Dane's draft here on his mock. So that covers the Falcons. So looking at number five, a lot of talk around this pick. So at the number five overall pick, you know, the Cincinnati Bengals would select Ja'Marr Chase, wide receiver out of LSU. I'll kind of kick off the analysis here, and then I'll pass the baton back to you, Todd. But like, you look at Chase, I know everyone knows about his body of work. I know he opted out last season. But in 2019, I'm like, the guy was on fire. You know, 84 receptions, nearly 1,800 receiving yards. You know, 24 of those receptions were for 20 or more yards. One thing with the Bengals, I'm like, the selection of Chase would give them a very viable number three receiver. I know a lot of folks are, you know, all about like T. Higgins and his breakout, no A.J. Green. Not a slight against Higgins. I'm like, he's like a great player. But one thing with Cincinnati, they had a third receiver on the field on 82% of their offensive plays last season. That was the second highest in the NFL. So I know the Bengals, like, offensive line is an area of opportunity. But again, tying back to what I said earlier for where the depth in this draft class at offensive line, they could still address the offensive line a little bit later in the draft. But I just think to give them a viable, you know, like, third wide receiver, like, would you rather go to battle with, like, Ja'Marr Chase as your number three or Auden Tate? I think it kind of comes down to that. But go ahead, Todd. What do you think about this pick?
Well, there's what's rational to do. And then there's the Bengals, right? You know, as we talk a lot about rational coaching, rational picking, yes. and some of these teams just aren't rational. And the Bengals have historically been one of them. And they've always been a team that do seem to put a higher priority on the skill positions than anything else. That being said, the most important person on this franchise is Joe Burrow. And he's coming off a major injury that can directly be attributed to the problems on the offensive line. Mm-hmm. I think that this, again, could be a really good – with rational coaching, this, if I was the general manager, what I'd be looking to do here would be to trade down, get extra picks, get value for the pick for someone who loves Pitts or loves Ja'Marr Chase. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's like three or four tackles – near the top of the pecking order. I think you can move back a few picks, still get your tackle, get extra value. Mm-hmm. That's what I would do, Eric.
Yeah. Bengals, I like it.
What the Bengals will do, Elmo shrug.
No, really, really good points, you know, just because coaches don't always act, you know, rationally. And so they could be enamored by Ja'Marr Chase, you know, all the big, you know, highlights and the speed and the athleticism, all those things that people get intoxicated over and make the pick.
The great thing is you can't blame them for taking Chase. You can't blame them if they take Pitts. You know, you can't blame them if they take the tackle, right? So from that perspective, sitting there and picking, no one can blame them. But to really maximize the value, again, I know I'm going to be a broken record about trading down, but that's, to me, this is a prime spot to do that.
Yeah, very good point. So moving on to the number six pick, you know, the Miami Dolphins, you know, would select, you know, Kyle Pitts, you know, tight end out of Florida. So everyone knows about Pitts. We were talking about him earlier. You know, last season, and he set the Florida school record for touchdowns by a tight end with 12. You know, he led, you know, all tight ends in deep catches and deep yards. Pitts, you know, would fit perfectly like in Miami. I know whenever Tua took over as a starter, I know the Dolphins lean heavily on two tight end sets. And I was looking at, like, Sharp Football Stats, and I know they use, you know, two or more tight ends, like, on 35% of their offensive snaps. Like, the league average last year was 24%. So, I guess on paper, you know, looking at the stats, looking at the team, you know, need, especially with Gesicki going into a contract year, you know, the move makes sense. But, Todd, let's hear from you. I'm like, what say you about this pick?
Well, I think they're going to sit there and they're going to take either Chase or the tight end Pitts. Pitts is a Florida guy. He went to the University of Florida. I think if he's there, you know, initially my thought was Gesicki, but like you said, Gesicki only has one more year. He's been good at times, but not great. Kyle Pitts has the ability to be great and be that 15-year guy. So if he's there, I don't expect him to – I don't expect them to trade down. I don't expect them to do anything but take either Jamar Chase or Kyle Pitts here, whichever one makes it to them.
Yeah, exactly. No, I agree with you there. So, you know, moving on to another pick here, a fantasy-relevant pick. We'll have a little bit of a jump because we want to focus on the fantasy-specific players. Moving on to number nine, like in Dane's mock draft, has the Denver Broncos selecting Justin Fields, you know, quarterback out of Ohio State. So I'll kind of go back to you on this one, Todd. Like, if this comes to fruition, what do you think about this pick?
I think you have to take the quarterback. Mm-hmm. I think that Drew Lock is shown that he's more likely not the guy than he is the guy. Mm-hmm. We talk about how much they've struggled to get a quarterback. Yeah. Other than the 1 or 2 years when Peyton Manning was there, they've never replaced Sean Elway, really. And I think that they've got enough talent already on that team that if Fields falls to nine, you've got to take him unless you really just don't think he is the, you know. I mean, you know, Fields is one of those guys that we're hearing so many negatives about that don't make sense to us who aren't privy to everything. Like, I could see Fields really dropping, you know, 15th, 20th, 30th, who knows? You know, one of those really unexpected free falls. But if it's me, based on what I know, I think that you've got to upgrade the quarterback position, especially with the weapons you've already got in Denver.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. I know everyone knows what Fields was able to do, like in 22 games as Ohio State's starting quarterback, you know, dual threat quarterback, you know, passing the ball, you know, as a rusher as well. I think if you're in a scenario where Fields is going against like Drew Lock, you know, in a training camp competition, I think he has a really good chance of winning. I think Lock ultimately failed like his audition that he had last year. So I could see this pick really working out. Before we move on to the Chargers at number 13 overall, anything you want to add regarding the Broncos and Fields?
Drew Lock reminds me of one of those guys who, even when he plays well, it tends to be after they've already lost the game.
Yeah.
You know, late third and fourth quarter, he's throwing a bunch of touchdowns when you're down by four touchdowns. You know, he just doesn't seem to play very well when you need him to play well. Mm-hmm. And so I think the Fields pick would be a good one. If he makes it this far, I would be surprised and not be surprised by depending on how you want to look at it. But having the Broncos pass on him at nine, I think would be a mistake.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. You got to get the quarterback. You know, it could be a deal breaker for the franchise. So what Dane had, like, at number 13, it was another offensive player taken off the board. So, you know, he had the Los Angeles Chargers at number 13 overall, drafting Jalen Waddle, wide receiver out of Alabama. So I'll kind of kick off the analysis regarding Waddle, and I'll pass it to you. So I'm like, you look at Waddle, I'm like, he only played six games last season, you know, 242 snaps to be exact. I know he caught 28 to 32 targets for a little bit under 600 receiving yards, you know, and four touchdowns. I think one thing that was impressive, you know, looking at Alabama, you know, all-time list school history, but the guy averaged 19 yards per reception during his collegiate career, which actually ranked second on that list at Bama, a minimum of 100 receptions. I think one thing I was thinking about with this, I kind of like it. You know, I like this move because, you know, his arrival in L.A., you know, really provides, like, Justin Herbert with another receiving weapon. And I really see, if this comes to fruition, like, Waddle being a replacement for Mike Williams, you know, who's entering, like, the final year of his contract. Now, the Chargers offensive line is really one of the worst in the league, in my opinion, like, over the last two seasons. I'd love to see them, like, address that. But I guess as far as, like, with the Chargers picking Waddle than the other picks that they have, Todd, I'm like, what do you see them doing?
Well, I think the most – the thing that I really want to focus on with this pick, Eric, mm-hmm. is I don't think Waddle makes it to him. Mm-hmm. I just don't see the Giants end – I could see the Giants passing on him. I think they're going to go defense. But I think that, you know, the Eagles passing on him, mm-hmm. I find it hard to believe that the Eagles will pass on him. Who does he show the Eagles taking?
Yeah, I can pull it up. I just kind of had my notes here. Give me a second. But I know he also had the Eagles drafting another wide receiver late. And I believe that may have been Amon St. Ra. I'm probably
Amen.
Amon, yeah. Let me scroll down.
No, I said Amen. Like you said Amon St. Ra, and I'm like
Amon Ra St. Brown.
Yeah.
I was
just being a wise ass. Play on words.
Yeah, understood. I'm sitting here trying to multitask too unsuccessfully. But yeah, I know he had Amari Rodgers out of Clemson going to the Eagles, like in round three, 70th overall. But I've got it pulled up now. Let's go down to the Eagles to see who he has them selecting in the first round. Yeah, he actually has them going cornerback with J.C. Horn out of South Carolina.
Well, you know what? If Horn makes it that far, that's not a mm-hmm. bad pick.
Yeah.
So it's possible. I would be, I just don't know that I see the Chargers taking a wide receiver there, mm-hmm. But it is possible. Put me down for, I think that's unlikely. I don't know. I think, put me down for an offensive lineman.
Okay.
Looking at this offensive line.
Yeah, they do need
the
help.
Yeah. Pipkins and Abouche and Lindsley and Filer. And Bulaga right now, I mean, Brian Bulaga's hurt more than he plays every year. Mm-hmm. Put me down for an offensive lineman, or if the Eagles take Waddle and the cornerback falls, that they take the cornerback. But I, you know, just given my analysis and my gut feel is that the Chargers do not – you know, they got burned taking Mike Williams a few years ago. I don't know that he justified that early of a pick. It was a surprise pick at a time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that they've got Tyron Johnson and Jalen Guyton, who they like as well. Mm-hmm. I don't see it. I don't think it would be a bad pick, but I don't see it.
Yeah, no, well said. No, good points. Now, looking at a number 16 overall, like Dane has the Cardinals selecting Devontae Smith, wide receiver out of Alabama. So what do you think about this selection if this actually happens?
If it happens, I love it for the Cardinals. I think that, you know, Cliff Kingsbury will take as many wide receivers as you let him. Mm-hmm. And I think that Devonta Smith, this would actually be almost an ideal landing spot for him. Mm-hmm. If you understand the air raid offense and the other players, you know, having, you know, a lot of plays where you're one of four wide receivers and you get a single coverage by maybe a second, you know, a backup, you know, or, you know, like a, not the nickel corner, but he might get the dime corner on him. I think, you know, I think that he would be a real weapon, and I don't, I think that would be a really good pick for the Cardinals. I like Devontae Smith.
Yeah. No, I agree with you, because I do like this. You know, whenever I was reading through Dane's mock draft, I was like, no, I love it, because I'm like, you look at Smith's skill set, I'm like, it's going to translate well to, like, any scheme, like, at the NFL level. And just think about having him as, like, a number two to, you know, DeAndre Hopkins. And I'm like, Smith can ultimately become what fantasy managers dream that Christian Kirk could be. And their offensive line was solid, you know, last season. So, no, I really like that pick. I don't really have anything else to add to it. What about you?
I do want to say that, but my mouse keeps going out. I wanted to look. I think that I just wanted to cover really quickly who the Cardinals brought in.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because I know that they've brought in a bunch of people this offseason. So they've got A.J. Green. I don't think that's going to stop them from taking a wide receiver.
No, not at all.
They added Rodney Hudson at center. That was the guy that I had been thinking of on the offensive line. So I would not be shocked if they added another offensive lineman here. And I could see Devonta Smith falling a lot further than this. I wouldn't be surprised based on the fears teams have on his size. But I think that he would be an electric player in this offense.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I agree. Now, the next kind of major, you know, kind of like offensive, you know, fantasy relevant, you know, position that was selected. I know Dane had at number 24 overall, the Pittsburgh Steelers selected Najee Harris, running back out of Alabama. Again, like, I'm thinking, hey, no, this would be phenomenal if this comes to fruition. So I know it surprised a lot of people seeing Harris return for a senior season, you know, at Bama. But I think he actually improved his draft capital, you know, by doing so. I think he would fit in nicely, like, in Pittsburgh. I'm like, Anthony McFarland, he doesn't built, in my opinion, to be like a bell cow at the NFL level. And I don't think the Steelers necessarily want to go to battle with, say, having, like, someone like Benny Snell, you know, as their go-to guy. So, no, I really love this move. You know, it would give not Alabama, but it would give Pittsburgh, you know, kind of their bell cow, you know, type of back. May even give them reminders of, like, Le'Veon Bell, you know, of having him back there, you know, many years ago. I don't know. What do you think about this selection, Todd, if it happens?
Well, I think that it makes a lot of sense and no sense at all. I think they're smoke screening about you taking a running back in the first round. I wouldn't be surprised if the one they took was ATM, if they do take one. But my thought is that more than just about any other team, the Steelers need offensive line help. You know, Kevin Dotson, J.C. Hassenauer, David DeCastro, Zach Banner, and Chukwuma Okorafor, that's their offensive line right now. And it's a third-round pick, a fourth-round pick, a street free agent. DeCastro is a very good player, and Banner is another street free agent. Those are the guys. So the Steelers don't seem like the type. You know, they've only taken, I saw this stat, they've only taken in 20 years with this GM, they've only taken two first-round running backs. And both of them were early 2000s when teams still did that pretty regularly. I would like the pick if they did it, but I think, you know, they need to protect their aging quarterback and to get the, you know, I had this talk with Pat Thorman on Twitter today, and both of us agreed that the Steelers say they want to fix the run game. I think the better way to fix the run game is to fix the offensive line. And I think if they do that, Snell and McFadden splitting the job with maybe a second or third round running back is a smarter way to go.
No, I like it. Yeah, because that offensive line, I'm like, it was rough. I would say one other thing to think about, like a scenario would be, I'm like, if they really just want to truly take the ball out of Big Ben's hands and really lean more like on the running game, it's just, I'm like, his arm strength looked did not look good like last year. I don't know if it'll be improved, another year removed, from his injury, but yeah, we'll see. It's kind of one of those for where you're like, if it happens, you're like, I like it. It's okay. But I can see them going with an offensive lineman there too. So really good point.
Love the player. Mm-hmm. Think that it's a very interesting, there's a lot of hype about them taking a running back, but mm-hmm. just, and I know I keep saying offensive lineman. I mean, in a vacuum, we have no idea mm-hmm. I don't know how good these offensive linemen are and how many there are and how, but if it's me, and there's an offensive lineman that I like there, I think that that's going to fix the run game a lot more than drafting Najee Harris right now.
Yeah. Now, at number 25, with that pick, I know Dane had the Jacksonville Jaguars selecting Elijah Moore, wide receiver, out of Ole Miss. And I know, Moore, at Ole Miss played and started in 8 games last season. Before he elected to, kind of forego those remaining games in order to start his draft preparation. But the guy was a monster, a little bit under 1,200 receiving yards, were actually the most ever, by an SEC player through the first 8 games of the season. I know he was also really productive, from the slot, as well. So I think if he does end up, in Jacksonville, it's just another weapon for Urban Meyer, and Trevor Lawrence, assuming that he goes there. But what thoughts do you have around Elijah Moore?
I do think that they're going to add another wide receiver. Whether it's this wide receiver at this pick, I don't know. I do know that it wouldn't shock me if it was Rondale Moore instead of – I think it might be a little early for Rondale Moore.
Agreed.
Rather than Elijah Moore. But I do think that when you – again, you look at the type of guy that Urban Meyer seems to like, you mix him with Chenault, and it reminds me a lot of Ayuk and Debo, to where it just gives you so many options, and it makes you so explosive. So if they go wide receiver here, give me Rondale over Elijah. Do you know much about Elijah? Is he, because I didn't watch much of his tape. Mm-hmm. I watched a little bit. So it could be, but I like the next pick. Why don't we move to that one? And then we also have to. I think this is the time, Eric, where we need to go over the big trade today.
Yeah. Let's do that. We can go through talk about the trade, and then also go through. I guess at number 27, the Ravens would take Bateman. Why don't we talk about Bateman real quick, then we'll talk about the trade, because that'll be a good segue and actually into round 2. So that's the last major pick.
I think Bateman would be an excellent selection here. I like him. I think he's got the type of quickness to get open. And I think part of the problem is that, with Mr. Jackson last year was that people weren't getting open. So I think Rashad Bateman's going to get open at this level. And now they've also got another first-round pick right around here from the Chiefs. So I do think that with one of those two picks, they'll take a wide receiver, whether it's the first pick. I think that there's a few different wide receiver all around about the same quality going here. So it wouldn't shock me if they either traded back here a little bit. They like to trade back, but I do think that by the time we're through the middle of the second round, they've picked up a wide receiver.
Yeah. No, I really like the idea of adding Rashad Bateman, out of Minnesota to the Baltimore Ravens. So I know that fantasy managers haven't gotten what they've ultimately expected, from Marquise Brown. But I'm like, you look at what Bateman was able to do, back in 2019. I'm like, he was phenomenal, and he's really good at yards after the catch too. So I think he would be a really good fit, in that offense. So that's all that I really wanted to add. Anything else before we talk about the big trade today, like you mentioned?
Well, I mean, it's just amazing what the Chiefs are able to do. Mm-hmm. They signed Joe Thuney. It looked like their offensive line was in serious decline. They let Mitchell Schwartz go. Mm-hmm. The Fisher, if he came back, who knows, after an Achilles. And now they've got a stud left tackle, Joe Thuney, with all those weapons. Kudos to Andy Reid and kudos to the Chiefs organization. I don't think the price was ridiculous by any means. Mm-hmm. And I think that it, you know, to me, that puts the Chiefs right back in the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah. And for those that, you know, that don't know, you know, about the trade, so the Chiefs acquired offensive tackle Orlando Brown in a trade with the Ravens. And then to your point, Todd, I'm like, the Chiefs traded their 2021 first round pick, you know, number 31 overall, like a third rounder, 94 overall, fourth round pick, you know, 136 overall, and a 2022 fifth round selection in exchange for Brown, and a 2021 second round pick and a 2022 sixth round pick. So got to strengthen up that offensive line. It makes the world go round offensively. So this is coming from an ex-lineman here. So now I like that move. You got to give Mahomes protection.
And I think it's a ding to the Ravens offense. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they've been pretty good at finding good offensive linemen, but yeah. Who is the guy who retired 2 years ago?
From Baltimore?
Baltimore's offensive lineman, all pro every year. He retired right before last season. Now they lose this guy.
John Urschel? John
Urschel?
No. Yeah, you're going to make me think about that.
And my mouse keeps doing wacky stuff.
I guess we'll have to go to the Google.
Yeah, just look up like the not Staley. Hold on, 2019 All Pro Team.
Marshall Yanda?
Yeah, Marshall Yanda.
Yeah, okay.
So they lost Yanda, and now they lost this guy. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not good.
No.
it's not good.
Not at all. But no, yeah, that was a big
But he wanted to play left tackle. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and get that left tackle money.
Yeah.
And the Ravens get Staley back, so they get Ronnie Staley back. So, all right, moving on. But I like the trade more from the Chiefs' perspective than I do from the Ravens. I understand why the Ravens did it, but I do think it's a knock to that Ravens offense.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So moving on to round two, I know that, you know, pick number 35, I know Dane had the Falcons selecting Travis Etienne, running back out of Clemson. So what do you think about this one?
Yeah, I think it's a very likely scenario. And it could be Najee Harris. You know, if Najee somehow makes it out of the first round, I wouldn't be shocked if Najee doesn't go to the Steelers and he's sitting there. You know, when one of the Ravens picks come up, I wouldn't be shocked to see the I wouldn't be shocked at all to see the Falcons move up to take Najee at the end of the first round.
Yeah, I think.
But, you know, I don't like ATM as much as some people. Mm-hmm. You know, I do think that they will take a running back probably in the second or third round.
Yeah, and I think either one of those backs, like you mentioned, Harris or Etienne, would pair nicely, you know, like with Mike Davis. I know Mike Davis was someone that I mentioned is like a sell high in a recent article that I did for 4 for 4, you know, about like a dynasty article around players to trade before the NFL draft. And so I think if either one of those players obviously goes to Atlanta, it's going to diminish Davis's value, because the perception is that Davis, you know, could be, you know, the featured back, but obviously, those dreams are shredded if one of these transactions actually takes place. So, again, pretty straightforward selection there. Now, I know at number 36, I know Dane has the Dolphins selecting Javonte Williams, your running back out of North Carolina. So, what do you think about this one, Todd?
Yeah, I think it's very likely they have spent a lot of time studying the running backs. I, you know, again, it, trying to pick the exact guy to the exact team is really hard to do, but I would not be shocked at all if this pick is a running back, and it would ding my Myles Gaskin shares. So I'm hoping it's not true, but it seems like there's an awful lot of smoke about the Dolphins and running backs.
Yeah, I'm like, you think about a guy like Williams and then Myles Gaskin, I'm like, they would make an like an imposing, you know, I would say like running back by committee. I'm like, if they were to join forces, like with Williams, I'm like, he excels like at yards after the catch, and I mean yards after contact, excuse me, you know, missed tackles, you know, according to like the Pro Football Focus. So it would be interesting if that actually comes to fruition.
He does seem like a Brian Flores type of guy.
Yeah.
Right? No, you know, Brian exactly. Flores seems like that old fashioned, with enough newfangledness, but I think he would love to, especially with a quarterback that they're trying to protect a little bit, mm-hmm. to have a running back that can, you know, set up the play action pass. I actually, you know, while it's hard to guess who, you know, exactly which running back teams will take, I think he did a great mm-hmm. job, Mr. Brugler, with mm-hmm. that. With that, I wouldn't shock me at all.
Yeah, no, I really like that pick. The pick as well. So, like, moving on, you know, number 41 overall. I think he actually has the Lions selecting Terrence Marshall, you know, wide receiver out of LSU, which I was kind of intrigued, you know, intrigued by this. I'm like, we all know what Marshall's been able to do, like, over the last two seasons at LSU. I know he finished 15th in yards per route run among wide receivers with 60 or more targets, you know, with 2.91. I just think about with Detroit, you know, they've got Tyrell Williams and they've got Breshad Berryman. I'm like, Marshall would kind of be like injecting like adrenaline like into that offense. So what do you think about this decision if it actually happens?
Well, I would love it for the Lions, but I think mm-hmm. Marshall's going ahead of this. Mm-hmm. I think that he might go ahead of Bateman. He definitely might go ahead of Elijah Moore. Mm-hmm. So I like it if the Lions can do it. It would be a great pick for them here. But put me down for Marshall going a little earlier.
Absolutely. All right, moving on. So, and this was one pick that I really, really liked. At number 45 overall, you know, the Jaguars selecting, you know, Pat Freiermuth, tight end out of Penn State. I really like this because, you know, Freiermuth, you know, I love watching his watching his film, just watching him kind of truck over guys. I know he owns a lot of records, like at Penn State, you know, for career touchdown receptions by a tight end. I know, like, his 92 career receptions are tied for 20th all time, like, in school history. One thing that was interesting, I know a shoulder injury, like, ended his season, you know, just after four games. But, I'm like, his target share over that span of time was, like, 28%. And so, I'm like, he can be the focal point of, like, a passing game. But I know the Jaguars have a need, like, at the tight end position. I think getting a guy like this in the second round with those other weapons that they already have and that they could add based on this mock would be phenomenal. But what do you think about this?
I think it's a good again, this Dane, I see why you liked his mock draft so much.
Yeah. No, it's really good. I like, you know, like his process and kind of how he goes through things. Yeah, I've been
I think this is another one where – the dots do connect, which means it probably won't happen, but the dots definitely connect.
Yeah, so again, pretty straightforward pick. I think you and I both like this one. But looking at 51, 51 overall, let's see, Washington. So he's got Washington selecting Kadarius Toney, you know, wide receiver, running back, Swiss Army knife out of Florida. What do you think about this one?
I don't like this one. I think that they just paid good money for the Swiss Army knife and Curtis Samuel. Exactly. And I think that Washington will go somewhere other. I wouldn't be shocked to see Kadarius Toney drop into the third, fourth round. I'm going to say after a couple picks where I could really see it, I'm going to say that I don't see this one.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of this one either, you know, even with them adding, you know, Fitzpatrick, you know, quarterback, but then they've got, you know, Terry McLaurin and then Curtis Samuel there. And they still have some other receivers that are on the roster where, you know, could thrive like with another opportunity, you know, to perform this year. So I wasn't a big fan of this one either. Now the next one, I was really intrigued by this one because at number 52, he's got the Bears selecting Kellen Mond, quarterback out of Texas A&M. So 52nd overall. I just thought this was like a perfect fit because you get a guy like Mond where he could sit behind Andy Dalton for a season or two before taking the reins. I know the Bears were kind of smitten on Mond, you know, for the last couple of months, and he's another dual threat, you know, quarterback option. And I think he stood out kind of amongst like his peers at the Senior Bowl back in January. So what do you think about this one?
You know, like I said, I didn't get to the quarterbacks because, you know, from me being mostly a best ball guy, I'm trying to get the guys who are going to play this year, and I don't see Kellen Mond playing this year. So I definitely didn't look at him yet. So I'd be giving you an uninformed opinion. But I will give you my uninformed opinion, which is if the Bears take him, it's probably the wrong move.
Yeah. It's just with the Bears, like, again, I'm still torn and just like kind of cringing. It's like, you know, if you're on the hot seat, you know, as a general manager, as a head coach, and you're going to have success or failure be defined by Andy Dalton. So that kind of tells me everything that I need to know there. But they may not, if this does happen, they may not even be around to really see Mond thrive. But that's a whole other conversation for another day. Now,
well, I do want to look up who do they have the Bears taking in the first round?
With the Bears, let me scroll back up. Yeah, so they actually have the Bears in the first round taking an offensive tackle out of Oklahoma State, Tevin Jenkins.
Yeah, I mean, when I talked earlier about teams moving up for a quarterback, I mean, maybe they like this Mond guy, and you know, but I wouldn't be shocked to see them trade up for a quarterback again, or if Justin Fields falls enough, like I suggested, he might. But, yeah, all right. I just wanted to look. I didn't know. They picked number 20, so it would be a pretty hefty price to move up to get a quarterback. Mm-hmm. But I think that has to be in their mind if they like someone.
Yeah, no, and you're spot on because kind of here's what Dane wrote verbatim. So he said, if the Bears are unable to trade up for a quarterback, the focus should shift to one of the team's other key needs, notably – right tackle. So Jenkins is natural on the right side with his unique power and competitive demeanor. So to your point, it's like he seems like Dane is kind of aligned with you thinking that, hey, they should trade up to get a quarterback, but it all comes down to the opportunity cost there. I know you mentioned like Rondell Moore, like earlier, you know, wide receiver out of Purdue. I know Dane actually has the Saints taking him with the 60th pick. So what do you think about this, you know, tying Rondell Moore to Sean Payton's offense down there in the Big Easy?
Going back to just Kellen Mond for a second, Tom Pelissero said he could make it into the first round. So if he actually does last as long as this mock draft, I think he would be the pick. As to the next question, I mean, Rondell Moore in the Saints is just kind of an orgasm in waiting. You know, I just think that, you know, Sean Payton, you know, for all his whatevers is, you know, really gets the most out of his players. And I would love that landing spot for Rondell Moore.
Yeah. No, I've got to echo your comments because I know when people think about Moore, it's, you know, you kind of think about, okay, he's only played in 7 games over the last 2 seasons due to injuries. But, like, his 2018 season was really, like, epic. But I think it's hard to imagine, like, a better fit, you know, for the Saints, you know, than having Moore, like, here. I'm like, you know, his flexibility, you know, his athleticism, like, really makes him, like, an ideal player for Sean Payton's offense, like, in my opinion. That actually wraps up the second round with, you know, all the kind of the offensive picks that Dane had. We can dive into round 3, And this is this. I really want to get your take on this one, Todd, because this was a pick that I was like on paper as like, I guess as Forrest Gump said, I like that a lot. I'm like, if you look at the Texans, you know, the 67th pick taking Dombey Brown, you know, wide receiver out of North Carolina. So what do you think about this one?
Yeah, I didn't watch a lot of Brown, but I liked him. Yeah. He had what I look for when I watch tape, someone who kind of explodes out of the camera, you know, and I think, you know, the Texans obviously need wide receivers and they pretty much need everything. So, you know, I mean, you know, if we're guessing in the first round, we're really throwing darts in the third round. But, yeah, I think that's a pretty good player.
Yeah, I know it's one that I like. Now, I know we talked about, like, the Eagles have a few minutes ago. I know in the third round, you know, at pick 70, I know he had the Eagles selecting, you know, Amari Rodgers, you know, out of Clemson. So what do you think about this one?
I didn't get to watch Amari Rodgers. What are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, it's I would say one thing that I really liked about the pick, I'm like, if it does happen, is that, you know, the Eagles can use him at, like, multiple positions, like on offense. They can pretty much line him up anywhere. You know, he gives them another weapon to build around, you know, second-year quarterback, you know, Jalen Hurts. So he's kind of one of those receivers, at least from my view, that's like a Swiss Army knife. Line him up in the slot, line him up in the outside. You can handle some rushing attempts. So, you know, I like the pick, you know, if it ends up happening. But, yeah. You know, he's a great player. You know, I don't think he's a second or first or second round talent. I think the third round or late second is about right. So if the Eagles get him, hey, I think he can work. Now, going to pick 81, the Dolphins are back on the clock again. And this is where Amon-Ra St. Brown, let me get that out correctly, and wide receiver out of USC. So, did you watch much film on Brown or know much about his background?
I didn't. I didn't get down that far. I'm going to give you an Elmo shrug here.
That's fine. Kind of tying that to Twitter with your avatar. I like that.
Yeah. The like next that. One that I would have an opinion, I think. Mm-hmm. All right, go ahead. Go to the next one. Sorry.
No, that's fine. Yeah, so you got Amon-Ra St. Brown, Dolphins. Now you go to pick 85, you got the Tennessee Titans, Tutu Atwell, wide receiver out of Louisville.
I mean, I hear he is just a little bitty thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was surprised that the Titans let both Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith go. Mm-hmm. I would be surprised if they – let me look at their picks.
Yeah.
If my mouse is – just keeps going in and out. It's a
– like a wireless –
it's a wireless mouse, and it says I still have 47%, but it keeps going in and out. Yeah. Let me look at the Titans because I want to remember the Titans. Boom. So they've got
that movie pick. Never gets old. That's a good one.
They've got 122 and 221. Put me down for them taking someone a wide receiver before that. I don't know that it'll be at 122, but I don't think they're going to wait until this tier to take a wide receiver. How's that?
Yeah,
and I don't think they're going to take a guy like Atwell, who I think they're going to want someone who can play every down, mm-hmm. and not, you know, I just don't like that one.
No, understood. And there's some other picks on here. We can just kind of wrap up the kind of with that mock draft. Is I know, like, the Jets, you know, at an 86 pick taking Kenneth Gainwell, you know, running back out of Memphis. I know that was another one that I was like, okay, you know, that one could work. It also had the Patriots at 96 taking Tylan Wallace, you know, wide receiver out of Oklahoma State. So those are just some other names. Go ahead.
I think the Jets are going to take a running back right around there, whether it's Gainwell, whether it's Kylan Hill, whether it's somebody else. I do think that they're going to take a running back right around there, and I do think that the Patriots will take a wide receiver there.
Yeah. No, good stuff. Yeah, I really like Gainville. I would like to see him with the Jets. I think that'll be a good landing spot where he can hopefully get some touches sooner, rather than later. So I thought that would be intriguing. Maybe he can even take some heat off of Zach Wilson, perhaps. Yeah, but that wraps up on like the mock draft, that Dane put together. I guess for those that are watching and listening, check it out. At the Athletic, it's a really good, in-depth article that he puts together. Again, I know he puts together some amazing content there. So, yeah, I enjoyed kind of talking or walking through this and talking about it with you, Todd. It was really good stuff.
Oops.
There you go.
So what I was saying was that's going to do it for this episode of the Run to Daylight podcast. I want to thank you for leading this episode and doing such a fabulous job. We're definitely going to have to do more episodes like that. And any last words before we get out of here?
Yeah, I'll just reiterate. It was good going through that mock draft. But again, I think we've been looking at these players in a vacuum and understanding what they can do and speculating on landing spots. But hey, the great news is that after next week, we'll know where these players are at, and then we'll really be able to dive into the fantasy implications of, where these specific players, land. So if you're in a dynasty, playing a dynasty league, I highly encourage you to check out my article over at 444, about players that you should trade, before the NFL draft. And also too, if you're an Athletic subscriber or just want to kind of get a peek at, key stats to know about the major and key players from this year's draft class. I've got an article published there that goes through quarterbacks, running backs, tight ends, wide receivers, with different stats that you should know to better understand these players. But that's all I wanted to add. Hey, it was a great show. It's always good to talk fantasy football with you, Todd, and looking forward to the next one.
Great job. That's going to do it. I want to, again, thank our friends over at the FFPC. Go to myffpc.com, whether it's for best ball, whether it's for the new dynasty formats. Also check out the $5 best balls. They call them the Cinco de Mayo best balls for $5. I know a guy who's trying to get into best ball, and he's using that to try and get his experience. So if you're new to best ball, and you want to practice some of the things we talk about here with volume, check out the Cinco de Best Ball, $5 over at the FFPC. That's going to do it. We're off next week because of the NFL draft. We'll catch you the week after that, my friend.
All right. Now, sounds good. Everyone take care. Hey, enjoy the weekend.
And don't wear a tutu, even if he gets drafted.